I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I count it a great privilege, joy, and quite a challenge to stand before you this morning. And we trust that the Lord will have something for each one of us as we look at His Word together. Please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3, we will read together verse 1 through to verse 5. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 on to verse 5. The Bible reads as follows. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. And may I ask that we just pause and bow our heads and pray to God that He may give us light from His word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, none is qualified to do things spiritual, and things spiritually descend apart from you giving indeed the directive and the actioning. And indeed we will fail to see what is in your word if you do not attend to us and make these things plain before us. And sometimes these things appear so straightforward and simple, and sometimes it's words that we decide don't mean for us, and so, oh God, our hearts and our minds do not apply to these things. And sometimes it's the failure of the speech being made and the words being spoken to attract anything of faith. But we do ask that this morning, oh God, that you may be pleased to cause all of us to behold wondrous things from your word, and to cause, O God, that each one of us may receive something from you, the living God. Would you cause, O God, that preacher and listener alike may not leave this place untouched, unaffected, and unconvinced, and unpersuaded, but that, Father, together we may be led into that which you want us to go to. And be pleased, therefore, to glorify yourself in our midst and to be with us in a very special way. This we do pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we do know that the first and second book of Thessalonians, they touch something on the second coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in particular, this text that we have, though not really being very obvious, there is something of that thought as well. And the Apostle Paul would want us to be convinced that he is the writer of 2 Thessalonians, and indeed even the first. And that's why when he gets to the end of the book, he emphasizes that indeed he has written this with his own hand, and he actually signs it with his own signature and says, this is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He writes as he ends the book of Thessalonians. And for him it is important because he is persuaded about the things he writes, and he is persuaded about what he writes and what he wants to assure the church. And so he brings that assurance. And in the text that we have read, the Apostle Paul is persuaded and convinced that the Thessalonians will do things that he commanded them. That they will be not only persuaded, but they will actually do as well, particularly in view of the son of lawlessness, but also in view of the fact of the warning that he brings them to them about idleness, being not that which Christians are called to, and actually says idleness is a sin, and that there are some in Thessalonica who were living this sort of life, and he wanted them to see the diligence that he's pointing them to, and the diligence that the Christian life actually calls for. Those of you who have been Christians for a while will know that there is this aspect of Christian diligence, Christian commitment and service that we are called to. And the Apostle Paul points to his own example as an example of that Christian life lived in actual exercise of the faith, in service to God, and in commitment to his calling. And also, as he does so particularly in this chapter, he wants a separation from that foolishness of merely supporting what is there, particularly when all this is attended to with laziness. So Christianity is not about being lazy. Christianity is about being militant. And that militance is also a militance that is indeed forced upon us because of what the world seeks to do against us. And immediately you see the context of what we have here, the prayer that the Apostle Paul is asking for the Thessalonians to pray for. He requests that they pray for him in view of the gospel that he is engaged in, the gospel work that he is engaged in. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word may speed ahead and may be honored. He is concerned about the fruit of the gospel work that he is engaged in. And as he does so, he comes to what he says in verse 2. And he says that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. And he sees that there is a danger that he comes to as an individual and as those that must preach the gospel. And he actually adds the fact, and he says that, for not all have faith. Not all have faith. We are in the midst of a world where not all are convinced of the gospel that we preach. We are in this situation where the general theme and the general thing about people around us is that they do not have faith. For not all have faith. And I want to take this as a theme with us this morning. Not all have faith. And we need to see the meaning of this. As the Apostle Paul asked that the Thessalonians would pray and that would be delivered from these men that he says they are wicked and evil men. And he is actually saying these are people who do harm. They can harm us, and they will harm us, and as we have read from our consecutive Bible reading today in Acts chapter 21, we see Paul actually being dragged and being done harm to because of these wicked and evil men. There was this vicious opposition to Paul and to the gospel, although that account in Acts 21 is not what is directly referred to here. What the Apostle Paul was referring to here was his encounter in Acts and chapter 18. We'll look at it in a moment. But Paul seems to be saying everywhere and around, what you see is that not all have faith. The countries that we have been praying for all the time today, we hear of the Czechia Republic, and we've heard that 70% don't want to believe in anything of faith. For not all have faith. And that very article that we have as the first word in that text, for, is a conjunction which is indeed assigning the reason for what the Apostle Paul has said. And he has said, pray for us that the gospel, he says that the gospel may go ahead and be honored. And he says, pray for us also that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. These two things, that the gospel may go ahead, and we who do the gospel, the Apostle Paul says that we may be delivered from evil men. And then he adds this primary particle of a conjunction that he gives for the reason why the gospel must run ahead. There is need for the gospel to run ahead and be successful because not all have faith. And also, please pray for us that we may be safe as we do this work, for not all have faith. And I want us to look at this together. And when the Apostle Paul says not all have faith, is straightforward. He means faith is not the possession of all. But here he gives it as a figure of speech, but he actually makes a statement of fact. And that's what I want us to really see together. It is a fact that not all have faith. It is a fact that even while we are seated here, there may be some here in this auditorium this morning who may not have faith. But the thing that is more disappointing, that is actually, if you considered the plight of Paul and looked at him, you'd say that indeed this is distressing. It is this, that not all. And it is this, that actually what he's saying is that the majority, the all of us, have no faith. And therefore, it should be rendered among all people, among all of us, that all men have no capacity of faith. And I'll come to this in a moment. And this is not just about a disposition and an acknowledgement of the existence of God that the Apostle Paul is talking about, which people do not have. He is talking about the actual possession of that faith. Our Christianity is a religion that is based on faith. Faith in the God that we do not see. Faith in the hope that we have, that we haven't experienced yet, a hope that we do know that indeed is coming, a faith and a belief on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that we do know that indeed there was a time when Jesus Christ came, and he came and died for us on the cross. Our faith is a faith that has an important subject, and it's the subject of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we speak about these things pertaining to our religion, we speak about Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we thank God that he died and he rose again on the third day. But we also know that this faith speaks about Jesus Christ taking upon himself our sin. Now, not many are convinced of this. And to what extent are you convinced of this? I know the many of you who are here would say, I am a believer and I'm convinced of these things. But I'm asking, to what extent are you convinced about this? Not all have faith. And the Apostle Paul basically saying, faith is not a possession of all of us. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and 6 says, but he, that meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And here you notice it. All of us, without exception, we have all gone our own way. All of us. And we do know that indeed this same thing of having gone our own way is what separates us from God himself. And it is what brought Jesus Christ to come here. But the very thing that brings us our salvation, the fact of our sins being laid on him, and the fact that this is what we understand, and this is what we mean when we place our faith and trust in Christ alone, this is a fact that many do not know. It's a fact that many do not believe. It is a fact that many do not want to live for. And it is a fact that even those who profess faith do not live to this to its great extent. And just think about, are you persuaded about the need of the speed of the gospel going ahead? Is this what you live for? I want you to see this in the context of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Many of us will say, I have faith. I am not what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, if you have faith and you are not as those that the Apostle Paul is describing here as the wicked and evil men, here is a simple question to you. If you have faith, do you live your life for the speed of the gospel? Do you live your life that the Lord may be honored? Or you are like these wicked and evil men, actually hindering the speed of the gospel by the life that you live? Actually, you are an agent of these same wicked and evil men.
So not all have faith, but also, in the second place, not all have faith means that all men who have no faith are perverse, unreasonable, wicked, and evil men. And I pray that you are not included in this number. All those men who have no faith are perverse, unreasonable, wicked, and evil men. Paul's prayer was for two things: the advance of the gospel and for the honor of the Lord, and also for protection from wicked and evil men. And because what the Apostle Paul here means when he talks about faith, it is not just that belief in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and that aspect of receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior, but there is a further aspect. In fact, in the original tongue, the word actually means trustworthiness. Not all men are trustworthy. And that's what he is talking about. And that lack of trustworthiness, coupled with the lack of faith, the faith that I was talking about earlier, the lack of these two things makes anybody who is like that to degenerate into a wicked and an evil person. And hence, actually, the word wicked is an extra thing about being unreasonable. It's a wickedness with unreasonableness. Unreasonableness. Ah, it's a new word. So, that is what he's talking about. And you are unreasonable as well as wicked. And you are evil. An evil man is one with bad aims, one with no purpose for being good or seeing good in anyone. And now when you think about it, that the Apostle Paul is saying that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, and he says, for not all have faith. Those who do not have faith, therefore, are equal to the wicked and evil men. And therefore, you begin to notice immediately why the Apostle Paul and others needed to be prayed for. Because of being amid these men who are wicked and evil. Wicked because they are unreasonable in all things. Evil because their aims are bad and evil all the time. And to imagine that the Apostle Paul would write in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. These are men, therefore, in these words, who are ungodly and righteous and who suppress the truth. And upon them is the wrath of God. And it's because the things that need to be known about righteousness, they know about them. But because they are unreasonable and because they are bad, and they always want to invent evil, and their purposes are not about doing good to others, they therefore will suppress the truth all the time and want to do what is evil all the time. So these are men who are profoundly immoral, profoundly wicked, profoundly wrong, and profoundly sinful. All the superlatives of sin that we can lay upon them. This is actually the definition of all men. This is the definition of all men. And that's what Genesis 6 verse 5 says. The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. The Apostle Paul would say that we have all sinned, and that indeed there is nothing righteous in us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the definition of those men. And when I say men, I mean actually boys and girls, men and women, grown up and even those still young. All of us, this is our definition. And no way out of it. And for the Apostle Paul, this he had experienced himself. And he had seen this as a reality. We read of that occasion that we read earlier on in Acts chapter 21. But what he had experienced at the time of the writing of this book was this account in chapter 18, rather, of Acts. And the account in Acts is when he was brought before Gallio. But read verse 5 first. He says, when Silas and Paul, Acts chapter 18, arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. And this is what Paul was saying when he got to Corinth. And this is what happened to him. They opposed him. And remember, the book of Thessalonians was written by Paul when he was in Corinth. But look at verse 12. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of question about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. And you notice the very definition of human nature here. And it's very close. You see it. Here were a people, actually, they were happy that they were dragging Paul. And more, we see more of this in the passage that we read earlier on. Dragging Paul, and as it were, you know, rejoicing over the misfortune of Paul, and wanting this thing to be judged against him. Very manipulative. And that's what wicked and evil people do. They're very manipulative and always seeking to take pleasure in other people's misfortunes. And as they do so, not remorseful at all, not remorseful. And when it is done, they take no responsibility for what has happened. And this shows how cruel human nature can be, and how cruel we can be to one another. And you begin to see all this from the time when children are small and as they are growing. You see wickedness in children. And that's why you shouldn't call these little ones your little angels. They are not. Just pause for a moment and look at the fact that he will see that he's injured somebody. It may not be deliberate, and the boy just simply walks away. You see, you have injured your friend. Ah, it wasn't deliberate, and on he goes. And when he wants to show something, it will just indeed a lip service. Sorry, and I'm going my way, remain with your pain. But that same aspect that is in children is what is in us. Here are these adults trying to allege a crime that is no crime, and opposing the truth. And you might say that you do not oppose the truth. But here is the thing. Do you live the truth yourself? Would you say, without doubt, that you are a person who lives by what you know to be true? Do you know why there is democracy in the world? Especially why we need to choose leaders between this one and the other one? Do you know why? It is because of this very fact, that we do not know how to live the truth. Therefore, we must get together and try to direct ourselves by suffrage that a thing ought to be done in this way. And how sad that indeed, sometimes even in the church, these things rear their ugly heads, that we do not live by the truth, and that we do not go by these things that we do know. The Apostle Paul, therefore, would ask the Thessalonians, as he thinks about them, but also as he speaks about the man of lawlessness that was coming, and remember, he was, after talking about the man of lawlessness, he said to them, stand firm in the Lord, and then he said, do not be idle, because the gospel must go ahead. And as he does so, he pauses at this point. And when he uses that word for, and even in the original tongue, that for means stop for a moment and think for a moment. Here is the situation. And here is the situation that maybe you are in. It is the situation that not all have faith. It is the situation that you yourself, you may not have faith. And I would like us to pause today as we come together, and as we are looking at this thing, let us pause and ask ourselves the situation that we are in. In the midst of the need for the gospel, and in the midst of warning against idleness and the need to stand firm, and indeed even the aspect of the second coming of our Lord and our future glory, here is the thing: not all have faith. And do you have faith yourself? Friends, not all have faith, and all men therefore must find this in God. Because when we have seen all these things, we come to a conclusion, all of us, without exception, that we therefore need God. Christian and non-Christian alike, if we understand this faith that the Apostle Paul is talking about, what we express in terms of our salvation, and what we express in terms of our Christian living, our trustworthiness that we need to have, and what we must be, and when we look at ourselves and think that we can actually get this on our own, we find that we can't. And we find, therefore, that we need God. We need God, and that's why the Apostle Paul, it was that pray for us. And that is why, for us who are Christians, we need to always pray for one another. And that is why, when it comes to things concerning the gospel and the honor of our Lord, we need to pray that this may be so. But friends, we need faith from God Himself. All men who have faith found it in God Himself. And all men who want faith must find it in God. There's so much sin in this world at the moment. So much that indeed we do ask the question together with the Lord, that when He comes, when the Son of Man comes, because the theme, if you combine 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, the theme when you combine the two is really about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He told that parable in Luke 18, He ended that parable in verse 8 with a question. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Unless left to ourselves, the answer would be, He won't. But we thank God that the Apostle Paul would write for us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith, therefore, is not of ourselves." You know, this world would have palpitated in deep misery if there was nothing of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Can you imagine a world without the common grace of God? Could you imagine that even that grace that God indeed visits His creation with wasn't there? Think about it, that we were all evil and there is nothing that would restrain the hand of evil. Would always be born and wanting to take cover immediately. But actually we wouldn't even survive. We wouldn't even survive. Because there is a record that we know, and all of us know, that even mothers forget their suckling children, or suckling babies. That even a mother would abandon a baby crying, wailing for attention. Worse still for men, they don't even want to be there when that happens. The world would have obliterated itself, that we know. Human nature would not have existed. Or if it existed, this is my own thing, if it existed, it would be like animals. That's why it's always very painful when somebody tells you you are an animal. And someone tells you, unjawena. You know, unjawena is you are a dog, wembwawe. It's painful. Because you look at that thing, and someone says that's what you are. But friends, remove God. That is what we are. But indeed, we thank God that by reason of what God has done, we can indeed respond to the Apostle Paul. If we are living those days, you'd have said, "Yes, I will pray for the speeding of the work of the Lord, for the honor of God, and also pray that he may be protected from evil men." This would happen. And that's why Hebrews says that God diligently rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And whoever you are this morning, you can be numbered among those who will seek after faith, true faith. And God looks for those who indeed will be faithful. Because here the Apostle Paul, when he asks these people to pray for him, he is basically saying, please be trustworthy. Be trustworthy and be true to your calling. Be true to what you are. And therefore pray. You've got access to God. Pray. And the question that is being asked, and what is being asked of you, is to indeed show that you are one who indeed has this true faith. A true faith different from what these people are, who are wicked and evil, for not all have faith, but different from these, that you are able to be counted among those who are worthy. But when you fail to indeed count yourself among these, and you find all the time you are among those who do not have faith, friend, it's because you were trying to give yourself this faith. It's only found in God Himself, and only Him. Though we haven't seen, we believe in Him. We love Him, even though we do not see Him. And we are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy, for we are indeed receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Now that's not Paul speaking, that's Peter. In 1 Peter and chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But you see what he is expressing? That indeed, if faith is being convinced of those things we do not see, we haven't seen, in the case of God, the Apostle Peter said, though not having seen Him, we love Him. Even though we haven't seen Him now, we believe in Him. And we are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Several things, but also, we are receiving the goal of our faith. We are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So our faith doesn't just end here. It makes us look even further to that great and glorious day when we shall be with Him in glory. But while we are here, trustworthy in all things, and that is this. And therefore, we can only get this from God Himself. From God Himself. It is God who is able to give you. Arthur W. Pink said this in one of his transcribed sermons preached at the Tabernacle at Ashfield. He said this: God foresaw, God foreknew, that not a single member of the human race ever would believe if He left them to themselves. Consequently, in His own sovereign grace, He purposed to give faith to His own elect. All men haven't faith who haven't been given this faith by God Himself. Those to whom God gives, they will express it. They will express His faith variously. To whom does He give? To those who hear the gospel like this. To those of you who have heard today. He is seeking that He may give you. He is seeking that He may give you. He gives to all those who come to Him. Because He says, come to Me. He invites you to come. And this morning, may you cry to Him. And indeed, express yourself to Him. And come to Him just as you are, without faith. Only come now and express your faith in Him. Not all have faith. And dear friends, all haven't faith, and this might be explained as I've said, faith, therefore, is not in all. Faith is a gift of God. And it's a gift of God that is very rare. It is rare. And the record of our own history shows its rarity. And it's rare not because of God. It's rare because of yourself. But we still, it's rare because those that must indeed be different from this still want to live and do things as those who have no faith. And therefore extending the boundary for not all who have faith. Extending the very veracity of these words for not all have faith. And as I come to a close this morning, may you be persuaded that you can turn around by one, yourself. We can turn around this very history of for not all have faith. And you can answer therefore the apostles' call that you want the word of the Lord to speed ahead and be honored. And thus you want for all believers, particularly those who are engaged in the gospel work, that they may be delivered from evil, from wicked and evil men. God therefore calls all of us, calls you today to come to Him by faith. Not about what you see, but by what you have heard about God. May you be persuaded this morning about this. And without doubt, therefore, when you come, this fidelity of the truthfulness of an individual towards God will be your experience. And you will be known as such. Later on, we'll see, therefore, that with all this, the Lord Himself is faithful. He will establish you and He will guard you against the evil one. You've got nothing to worry about then. Come, cry to Him this morning. The Lord Himself is going to be faithful to you. He will establish you. He will guard you. Oh, come, I plead with you. Come to Him. And oh, Christian brother and sister, show that indeed you have come by being a person fully of faith and trustworthy. And oh, to this end, may God richly bless all of us this morning. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we do pray, O God, that faith may be the experience of many here, to truly show their trustworthiness. Our Father, we do see that indeed not all have faith. And this is the world we live in, but cause that indeed it may not be the state that we will be as individuals. And to that end, O God, help each one of us here and grant us true saving faith. And those of us with this, O God, grant us true trustworthiness in our hearts. Thank you, O God, that indeed you are faithful, you will establish us and you will guard us against the evil one. We are grateful to this. And for this, O God, we worship you. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.